Okay, good morning to everyone. It's good to see you on this another day that our God has made. Only God can make a day. And he has made another day, put us in his day. He chose that we would be in the day today to fulfill his will, to worship him. And we do that. We worship the Lord God, our Father, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. My name is Sister Velma Jean Sanders. I am the teacher of the Contemporary Bible class. I am glad that you are here with me and others, fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, fellow classmates in this Contemporary Bible class. Some are new members of the class, new classmates. Others have been with me for years. Wherever you fit in that spectrum, I am glad that you are here this morning. We are all about hearing what the Lord has to say to us through his word. This is a Bible study per se. It is a Bible study, but it's more. It is an encounter with the living God. It is an encounter to hear what the Lord has to say, not Velma. Velma is just an instrument praying to be used by the Lord, knowing that I need him to teach his word. His word is spirit. And no one can teach his word without being guided by the Holy Spirit. And so we pray that the Lord will give us an ear to hear what the Spirit has to say on this August 22nd, 2021. We are going to go with the Lord and go to the Lord in prayer. Others will be joining us when they can. And whenever they do get to class, and this is true for all of you, if you're not at class at the very beginning, that's okay. Come in when you can, even if it's just for a few minutes. If you have to leave early, that's fine. You know, one word from God will last a lifetime. And so come to class whenever you can. I do want to remind everyone that if you're using the video camera and it is on live where we can see you, keep in mind that that camera is picking everything up that's in its view. So you want to be aware of that. We all need to be made aware of that. Blessed God, our Father, we love you and we praise you on this another day. We love you, Lord. We just love you so much because you have done so much and more for us, more than we know about, more than we can tell. We thank you that your blessings abound in all seasons, Lord God. We thank you for keeping us through the night. We thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you for his resurrection power. We thank you and praise the word of God. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you for fellow saints, Lord God, brothers and sisters in Christ, as we walk together on this Christian journey. We ask you now by your spirit to be our teacher, to lead us and guide us in truth. We pray for the needs of everyone in the class, whatever they may be. We lift them up to you in prayer. We pray for the absent part of us, Lord, whatever's going on in their lives, may they be aware that God is with them and that God never fails. May we all be aware of that. We pray, Lord, that whatever may be going on in our lives, you transcend all. You are greater than all. So help us, Lord, to keep our eye focused on you and may our anchor hold and grip the solid rock. That rock is Jesus. If there's anything that will hinder us from hearing from you, we pray, dear Lord, forgive. And now we ask you to anoint me, Lord God, that I truly may be used by you to bring forth your word to your glory and to our good. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, today we're going to continue on in our study from Luke chapter 13. As you recall, last week, we had an interval period where we just talked about what's in the Gospels. But today we're continuing on in our study from Luke chapter 13. Our concentrated verses will be verses 18 through 21. If we have any new persons with us in class, I do teach from the New King James Version of the Bible. So Luke 13, verses 18 through 21. Is where we'll be studying from on today. I want to, in studying scripture, you always need to keep in mind it has to be kept in context for the proper understanding of the passage. So I'll say a little more about that as we proceed on in our class. So let's read together our scripture. If you're on mute, which I want you to be on mute, but feel free to read out loud at your home as I read if you would like. Okay, Luke chapter 13, beginning at verse 18. Then he said, "What is the kingdom of God like? And to what shall I compare it? It is like a mustard seed, which a man took and put in his garden, and it grew and became a large tree, and the birds of the air nested in its branches." And again he said, "To what shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal, till it all was leavened." So those are our 4 verses for today. Now, on the basis of what I just said, we need to keep things in context as you're studying the word of God. So it says in verse 18, then he said. Now, when we go up, we go back to verse 10 and we find out what just happened. What is the context? What is the setting? Well, the setting is, according to verse 10, Jesus was in the synagogue teaching, and there was a crippled woman there. She had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. And Jesus saw that lady. He saw her. And in verse 12, it says, he called her to himself. And then the Lord Jesus Christ loosed that woman from the hold of Satan. Thereby, she was loosed from her physical infirmity. She had a spirit of infirmity. That's a demon. She was held captive by the devil, by the spirit of infirmity. But Jesus set her free. The woman was loosed. She was loosed from the spirit. She was able to stand up straight because verse 13 says she was made straight and she glorified God. So now in the context of that, we go on down to verse 18, and there are more verses in between. You all know that. So verse 18 says, then he said. So that's connecting these verses together. Verses 10 through 17 have to do with the crippled woman, the woman who was bound but made free. Then we get to verses 18 through 21, and if you have a study Bible, my study Bible gives a caption, Parables of the Mustard Seed and Leaven. So there are 2 parables that Jesus is getting ready to tell. Now, the parables are interpreting what Jesus just did in the synagogue. So the Bible is its own commentary. There is no better commentary than the Bible. The Bible comments on itself. Now, that's not to say human commentaries serve no purpose. Of course they do. But I always say, make your main study, as far as Christian education, make your main study the Word of God. Everything else is supplemental. Concentrate more on the Word. And so Jesus had healed this woman for all to see. It was a show and tell. But when we get to verse 18 through 21, now Jesus is going to interpret. He's going to give further illustration and insight into what he just did with the woman. So he goes into this parable, 2 parables, verse 18 through 21. Well, you all know Velma likes an outline. So we're going to outline verses 18 through 21, and our title would be 2 parables. Well, first of all, we notice in verse 18 and 20, verses 18 and 20. Well, let me give the outline first. Verse 18, Jesus asks a question. What is the kingdom of God like? And then he says, it's like a mustard seed. And so that's the first part of these parables. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. That's part one. Part two on our short outline is Jesus comes back around in verse 20 and he says, what shall I liken the kingdom of God? And this time he says, it is like leaven. And so the mustard seed and the leaven are interpreting or telling us what the kingdom of God is like. Well, how does that fit in with the woman, the crippled woman, the woman who had a spirit of infirmity? Let's think about that for a moment. Jesus is in the synagogue. Who is Jesus? Well, Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Son of the living God. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the one who came to preach the kingdom of God. And he promised everyone, blessed are the poor. And he would say, blessed are you. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed, and he had these blessings. And he would say, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. And so Jesus came as the head of this new race, as God's only begotten Son, to do what? Preach the kingdom, to usher in the kingdom, not in full power, not in full manifestation, but Jesus indeed came into this world to do what? Push back darkness. Jesus came into this world to conquer the devil, to defeat him. Jesus came into this world to regain back for man what God had given to man. So this woman, she had been taken by a spirit of infirmity, and the spirit caused her to be bound for 18 years. Here comes Jesus, ushering in or manifesting the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God like? Well, we can see when Jesus healed that woman, he freed her from Satan's hold. That was a picture. It's not a picture. It was a shining forth of the kingdom of God. In that moment, in that happening, in that healing, in that deliverance, Satan was conquered and the woman was freed from Satan's hold. The kingdom of God was manifested in one woman, just one woman here. The kingdom of God was shown forth. The woman was loosed from Satan's hold. The woman was freed from her infirmity. The woman stood up straight. The woman gave God the glory. And so all of that is showing forth the kingdom of heaven, what God is all about, the kingdom of heaven, glorifying his name, pushing back the darkness, holding back Satan, manifesting his power over nature. You know, when Jesus calmed the storm and he said, peace be still, that was Jesus showing forth the kingdom of God. Storm, be still. And he caused that storm to bow. And that was the manifestation there of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And so now Jesus goes on in verse 18, following on the context of this woman, one woman. We're going to find out it was one woman that was healed, one woman freed from the hold of the devil. Well, verse 18 says, then he said, what is the kingdom of God like? Now, you have to keep in mind, the same people that were in the synagogue are the same people he's talking to now. The story goes on. The teaching in the synagogue goes on. And he says in verse 18, what is the kingdom of God like? Well, we just found out from him friend, the crippled woman. But he goes on to say, and what shall I compare it? In other words, Jesus, I need further teaching. Could you tell me more about what the kingdom of God is like? I don't quite get it. I don't quite understand. I need further teaching. And so now Jesus gives a parable. And a parable, we know, is an earthly story with spiritual truth in it. And so the earthly story is Jesus asked this question. And whenever you see questions in the Bible, you should look for the answer. You should, first of all, look for the answer in the Bible. Oftentimes, the Bible will give the answer. Other times, the question is to you personally, and you need to answer the question. And so this question, Jesus is setting up the scene. What is the kingdom of God like, and to what shall I compare it? It is like a mustard seed. Now, if you can write quickly and you take notes, on one side of your paper, You know, the heading would be the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom like? On one side of the paper, you would say a mustard seed. And most of us have seen a mustard seed. You can buy mustard seeds in the store, in the seasoning section of the store, in those little bottles. There's a bottle with a mustard seed. It's a seasoning. And so this mustard seed is a very small seed. And Jesus says, the kingdom of God is like, one side of our column, a mustard seed. But then he comes along and asks the same question in verse 20. What shall I liken the kingdom of God? Well, this is the other side of our column. It is like leaven. So on one side, we have a mustard seed. On the other side, we have this little packet of leaven or yeast. We have this leaven, this yeast. And we've seen those little packets. We've used them in baking. And so the kingdom of God is like mustard seed, a mustard seed, one single mustard seed, which goes back to that one woman. Or you could say it's like leaven, that little packet of leaven. Well, let's tell me more about this mustard seed and leaven. And it goes on to say, now this is what happens to the mustard seed. A man takes that mustard seed, and he puts it in his garden. So you got that picture there, a seed. The man takes this seed, this little itty bitty mustard seed. And that little itty bitty mustard seed, a man took it. And he took that mustard seed, something tangible, something real, and he put that seed in the garden. Well, let's compare that to the leaven. Well, the leaven, we go over to the leaven, and it says, it is like, verse 21, it is like leaven, which a woman took. See, first of all, in verse 19, a man took. Well, God's not prejudiced. He uses men and women to bring forth his glory. So in verse 19, a man took a mustard seed, put it in his garden. In verse 21, it was a woman who took. So God uses men and women in his kingdom building process. This woman, she took the leaven. And what did she do? She did the same thing that the man did, only she did it a little differently, because he was working with a seed. So the seed belonged in the ground. And that's where he put the seed. He put the seed in the garden. He hid that seed. He put it in the garden. Whereas the woman, well, it wouldn't make sense for her to take a packet of leaven and put it in a garden. That wouldn't work. But she did do the same thing the man did, in that she took that leaven and she did what? She hid it. She hid that leaven. Where did she hide it? Not in a garden, but she did do the same thing. She hid it in 3 measures of meal. And so now we see, okay, on one side of our column, a mustard seed. Up under that mustard seed, a man takes it. A man takes that mustard seed and he puts it in the garden. On the other side of our column, we have a woman, and she has leaven. She is the kingdom of heaven is like leaven. And this woman takes this leaven and she hides her leaven in 3 measures of meal. So whether you're talking about the man or the woman, both of them are illustrating forth the kingdom of God. But then it goes on to say in verse 19, this is what else the kingdom of God is like. Verse 19 says, it's like a mustard seed, which a man took and put in his garden. And what happened? And it grew. And became a large tree. Okay, so we see what happened. This mustard seed, it was taken, put in a garden, and it grew. And how much did it grow? It grew so much that it became a large tree. Well, what about the woman, since we're comparing? Well, the woman, same thing happens. Only it says in verse 21, answering, what is the kingdom of God like? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid it in 3 measures of meal. What happened? It grew. The dough grew. It was all leaven. And you know it when you're baking bread and you put yeast in it, and that leavening agent begins to do its work. And next thing, over time, it becomes a huge lump of dough. And the same things happen. Same thing happened. In verse 19, the mustard seed, little bitty thing, small, very small seed. One of the smallest seeds, if not the smallest seed there is this mustard seed. So what's common between the mustard seed and the leaven? Well, think about it. What does the seed and the leaven have in common? What does the seed do or have that the leaven also has? Well, since we're all on mute, we don't have time for a lot of discussion, I'll go ahead and give the answer. Well, the leaven and the seed both have life in them. The seed is a life-giving agent. It has life in it, but it has to go through the process of the burial. It has to go through all of that, but the seeds are life. God started that in Genesis, where he created the trees and the fruit, and he put that seed in them. And God has never had to create another tree. When he created all those trees in Genesis, all the trees we see today, and as you're driving around and you see plenty of trees, all of them trees are a result of the seed that God placed in Genesis. And so a seed has life in it. So does the leaven. The leaven has life in it. It is a life-giving agent. And so the kingdom of God, what is it like? A mustard seed. It's like leaven. In what way? It gives life. The kingdom of God is about life. God came, sent Jesus that we might have life. And so this seed and this leaven, both of them seem insignificant. If you look at a seed, it's not impressive. That seed, that little thing, seeds are not impressive. But oh, don't let outward appearances fool you. That seed has life in it. And that seed, we're going to find out what else happens between the seed and the leaven. Leaven in itself is not impressive. There's nothing impressive about a packet of yeast. You open it up, you look at it, and oh, ho hum, you know, but don't fool yourself. God specializes in little things. And he takes this little thing, the mustard seed, the leaven, the one woman, and he's going to manifest what the kingdom of God is like. So first of all, we can see the kingdom of God starts out small. It's a small thing, the kingdom of God. Now, it's huge. Don't fool yourself. But we're illustrating what the kingdom of God is like, the kingdom of God. Now, I'm going to ask a series of questions here. I have not thought on the questions, but they're kind of coming to me now. Is God the king of everything? Yes, we would say God's the king of everything. Well, then why is there so much chaos in the world? Why are people acting like this and that? Why are there storms? Are you sure God is really ruling on the throne? Is God really reigning? Is God in control? It doesn't look like he's in control. It looks like the world is going crazy. That's on one hand. On the other hand, don't forget this mustard seed and this leaven. Now, ultimately, we'll find out the seed is Christ. Jesus himself is that seed. The leaven is the Christ. The seed is the kingdom of God. Even though there's all this chaos going on in the world, there is a seed that has been planted. And there is a seed, which is Jesus Christ, through his death. And I told you all last week, don't skip the burial. The burial is so important because unless the seed is buried, it bears alone. It stands alone. The seed, which is Jesus, had to be buried to rise again and bring forth fruit. And so this kingdom of God starts out little bitty thing, little itty bitty baby in a manger, little itty bitty thing. If you even think about your own salvation, and I thought about how God began to work in my life, and I could remember, and it would be good to think back over your life and connect the dots. I remember coming out of Dunbar Elementary School, and there was a man on the corner, and I must have been in first or second grade, but he was handing out little red New Testament Bibles. He did it. He didn't ask. He probably didn't ask permission. He gave out Bibles in front of the school. Of course, that was a different age then, but he gave out that little Bible, and that was a seed planted in my life. And then all along the way, these seeds are planted. And so what is the kingdom of heaven like? It's like a mustard seed. It's like leaven. Both of them have life in them. Jesus is that seed. Jesus is that leaven. And so it goes on, the mustard seed. This man took the seed and he did what? He hid it in his garden. Well, that's the same thing that the woman did. She took, well, the man, he took and put it in his garden. Well, where do you put it in the garden? Where do you put the seed? You bury it. You bury it in the ground. You hide that seed. And the seed is doing what? That's why I said, doesn't look like God's in control. You know, we say God is in control. God is in control. Yes, God is in control. Then you look at the news. Then you look at your own life. Then you look at your family. Then you look in the mirror and you say, is God really in control? And on one hand, yes, God is in control. Well, that's because we're believers and we have faith that God is in control. But outward appearances doesn't look like God is in control. It looks like the devil is having a heyday. That's how it looks for the outside. But don't forget, the seed has been planted. The seed has been put into the garden. Now, this is Jesus coming forth and the kingdom being ushered in by Jesus through his death, through his burial, through his resurrection. And through his resurrection here, now we're going to see Jesus ushered in the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God through his resurrection power, life-giving seed. Jesus, the seed. And that started in Genesis chapter 3. And so this man in verse 19, he took this seed. He put that seed in the garden. That's the burial. And it may look like in your life or my life, we're going through a burial. We can't see anything happening, but don't let that fool you. Whatever is going on in our life, and there's different cycles in our life of things we have to die to, things we have to be buried to, then God will bring forth a resurrection. Well, the man, he took the seed, put it in the garden, hid it. The seed is hidden. No one sees those seeds in the garden. The seed was planted. The seed is hiding. Well, same with the leaven. The woman put the leaven in the yeast, in the dough, and the leaven, it was hidden. No one could see the leaven. It was hidden in the dough. But was it dead? No, it wasn't dead. The seed wasn't dead and the leaven wasn't dead because both of them have life in them. But on the outside, it looks like, ain't nothing to that seed, ain't nothing to the dough, to the leaven. So this verse 19, the man took the seed, put it in his garden, and now here comes the next process. And there's time lapse in there. You know, between my Bible has a semicolon after the word garden. And then it says, and it grew. The woman in verse 21, it is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal. Till, that's the time word. Until it was leaven. And you all have baked bread. Even I've baked bread and I'm not a baker, but I have baked bread using yeast and then you do what you do, and then you leave the house or you go do whatever, and you come back in several hours later. And what has happened? The yeast has done its work. It has done its work for all to see. Well, that's what's happening with the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, the seed has been planted. The seed was buried, and now the seed rose. But there's a time factor in here. It says, and it grew. Now, every time a believer comes into the kingdom of heaven, and it grew. I mean, every time someone is shown up born again, and it grew. Every time somebody spreads a tract or tells someone about Jesus, about his love, about his blood, about his power, about his forgiveness, and it grew. The kingdom of heaven is spreading even now. Even now, somebody's going to go to church and hear a message about Jesus, and it grew. But it's hidden from the most part from the world because it's still in the hidden process. But on the other hand, this seed is doing what? And it grew. The leaven is doing what? It's leavening and changing from the inside out. The whole lump of dough is being changed. But it's a little thing, little by little. Here a believer, there a believer. Here a class, there a class. Here someone loves the Lord, someone sitting in their living room reading their Bible. Someone's trying to obey Jesus, trying to do what the Lord says. The kingdom of God is doing what? Grows. Someone's sharing with their children what they need to do in relationship to God. And the kingdom of heaven is doing what? The seed is being planted and it grows. Every time we share and it grows. And every time someone is born again and it grew. And so it grows, but from outward appearances, it still doesn't look impressive. It doesn't look like God is ruling on this earth. Doesn't look like it at all. But that's the outward appearance. Because we can see, yeah, God is in control. It may not look like he is in control. But don't fool yourself. He very well is. But the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. It's a secret thing. It's a little thing. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is among you. You can't see it unless you're in it. But the kingdom of heaven is working even today. And it's in the growth process until at the very end. And we'll look at some scriptures. I don't know how many we'll get to today, where we'll see in the very end at the second coming of the Lord, where the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign outwardly for all to see that Jesus is the King of kings, Lord of lords. How far will the kingdom grow? Because verse 19 says, the mustard seed, the man took it, put it in his garden. Well, keep in mind, like I told you, that seed is Jesus. The seed has come, the seed of the woman. The seed has come in Jesus. The seed has been taken, crucified, dead, and buried. But Jesus rose again. And on Resurrection Day, a whole bunch of things happened. But one thing that happened on Resurrection Day is that seed coming forth. And here we are today, fruit on that tree, the kingdom of heaven growing. And so verse 19 says, and it grew. It became a large tree. The little bitty seed became a large tree. Now just think about what we'll use for an illustration, Jesus in his earthly ministry. Well, we know he was born of a virgin, conceived of the Holy Ghost. He was born in Bethlehem, raised up in Nazareth. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Who would think that Jesus is the king? Who would think that he is the Messiah? But he was. He was that seed, little thing, coming forth from Bethlehem, coming forth from Nazareth. Any good thing come out of Nazareth? And then Jesus does what? He gets these disciples. Well, these disciples were not men of renown. They were ordinary men. Doesn't look like a kingdom to me. But when we look back over that, even from that starting part, and look, here we are today. Many more than 12. It's many more than 12 disciples now. It is thousands of people all over this world. Hundreds of thousands of people. Maybe, perhaps, probably even millions that are part of this kingdom. And we can see what? From that one seed, the kingdom of heaven is like that seed, and it is growing. It's growing, but it's still hidden. It's still a hidden work. All the world doesn't see Jesus is in control. Believers believe it. but not sinners. Because think about this, the last time the world saw Jesus, not believers in that day, not the disciples, not the 500 who were in the upper room, but the last time unsaved folks saw Jesus, he was hanging on a cross. He was bloody and beaten and blooded. He didn't look like a king. He didn't look like a Messiah. What did he look like? A packet of leaven. What did he look like? A little bitty seed. That's what he looked like. Nothing. Nothing impressive. But oh, wait a minute. He was buried. That seed was buried in the ground and came back up and it grew. It has grown to the point where we are here these thousands of years later. The tree has grown and is still growing. And it says it became a large tree. And how large was it? It was so large that the birds of the air, and I believe it represents several things, but I believe these birds of the air nested in its branches. And that's from every tribe is coming. People from every nation, people from every kingdom, people from every tongue, people all over the world, people in China, people in London, people in the United States, people in South America. The tree is growing, it's still growing, and it's growing so large that the birds of the air. How many varieties of birds are there? Myriads. There are many, many birds. And so these birds could represent us. And we come and do what? Here we come, coming to Jesus, doing what? Nesting in his branch. We're like the Shulamite in the Song of Solomon. We are nesting, we are resting under the shadow of his love. Well, the leaven here, let's look at verse 20 and 21 again. Jesus says, and again he said, to what shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took, hid in 3 measures of meal. Now, so both of these are hidden works. Work is going on the inside, under the ground, the seed was doing whatever the seeds do under the ground, germinating, whatever else. Barbara could tell us more because she's an agriculturist, I think. Oh, she's an architect, got it mixed up. But anyway, the seed under the ground, hidden. The leaven in the dough, hidden, but not dead, because they're both life. They're both life. And if a person is truly born again, this is part of it, really being born again, not just a church member. If you're really born again, you have that resurrection life in you. Now, we may go haywire, we may backslide, but because that seed of life is in us, God is going to draw us unto himself. Now, we may go astray for a little while, but there will be a convicting in us that you are wrong. You need to get this right in your life. You need to read your Bible. Then you'll have a desire. If you're really born again, you'll have a desire for the word of God. You'll have a desire to be with other believers. You'll have a desire to pray. You'll have a desire to worship because that life of God is in you. Verse 21, it is like leaven, which a woman took, hid in 3 measures of meal. Now I tried to look up what is a measure, and I still didn't quite understand what a measure was, reading all the tables in my Bible. So I just gave up on that. But we know it was 3 measures of meal, but which is, I don't know if it's a large amount or small, but it was 3 measures, and that means something, the 3 measures. I just don't quite know what, but she hid that little leaven in 3 measures of meal until it was all leaven. Well, you know what happens when it's all leaven? The dough rises. And that lets us know, yes, it doesn't look like God is in control right now. But don't fool yourself. The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is growing every day. And the illustration was the woman back in verse 16, verse 10. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And there was a woman, there was leaven, there was a seed, there was a woman. She had a spirit of infirmity That's her, held captive by the devil. She had it a long time, and the devil was doing what had her bowed down, bent over, and she could not raise herself up. But here comes the but. Here comes the leaven. Here comes the seed. Here comes Jesus. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. You are loosed from your infirmity." And at that moment, the kingdom of God manifested. The seed that was buried made known. Satan's power was pushed back. Satan's hold was pushed back. And God's glory came forth. And so now let's read this verse, these verses again in their fullness, verses 18 through 21. Then he said, "What is the kingdom of God like? And to what shall I compare it? It is like a mustard seed, which a man took, put it in his garden, and it grew." And we would say, "And it's still growing. And became a large tree." And we could say there is still becoming a large tree. "It was so large that the birds of the air nested in its branches." And that's also the Gentile people got in. I got in. You got in. We could be those birds that got in and nested in its branches. And again, he said, "To what shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till it all was leavened." Let's look at a scripture in Daniel that talks about the tree. Now, this is another illustration in Daniel chapter 4, where the Bible is its own commentary. The Bible is its own dictionary too, even though you need dictionaries. But Daniel chapter 4. So the book of Daniel, which is in the Old Testament, it's one of the prophetic books. You have Isaiah, and then you move on over and find Daniel. And I am trying to get there too. So Daniel, which is after Ezekiel, I believe. Daniel chapter 4. Some of you are there. I'm still trying to get there. Okay, Daniel chapter 4. Now, I encourage you to read this chapter in its entirety when you have a chance. But Daniel chapter 4, there's this tree. And some of you have read and studied Daniel. Some of you perhaps have even taught the book. But in Daniel chapter 4, okay, Daniel chapter 4, verse 1, "Nebuchadnezzar, the king," and we know he was the king of Babylon, "to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in the earth." And so this greeting is given. And then we go to verse 4. And verse 4 say, "I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in my house, flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream." So Nebuchadnezzar had this dream. And then we go to verse 10. And verse 10 is going to begin to tell us the dream. Verse 10 says, "These were the visions of my head while on my bed. I was looking, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth. And its height was great. Its height was great. The tree grew and became strong. Its height reached to the heavens, and it could be seen to the ends of all the earth. Its leaves were lovely, its fruit abundant, and in it was food for all. The beasts of the field found shade under it. The birds of the heaven dwelt in its branches, and all flesh was fed from it." Now, so that's where we see another tree that is an illustration of, it's a different kind of tree, but it represents a kingdom. And in this kingdom, it grew and it became large, this tree. And it encompassed all the other nations and languages and tongues. Well, with Nebuchadnezzar, something else happened. And that's where you need to read for yourself, Daniel chapter 4. So I encourage you to do that. Now, this morning, I'm going to end class, this portion of class, a little early because I want to share a personal testimony. I need to share with you a few things from your teacher. So I'm going to end this recording. I'm going to end it in prayer. And then you're going to hear the Zoom say, this recording has stopped. Don't go away. Just stay right there. I'm going to start another recording, and then I'm going to share with you all what I want to share. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. We thank you that the seed has come. That seed is Christ. We thank you that the seed was buried, the leaven was hidden, and it has risen. And we thank you that when Jesus came up, he also brought us up, and the seed has grown, become a large tree, so large that even we are dwelling under its leaves and under its branches, and we have found rest. We say glory to your name. We pray that you will bless us and keep us through the week. Keep us in your care till we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen.